Well, hello there. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. So glad you could join us again this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Got a really special guest today. Lucy Smith is here, and Lucy is a licensed dyslexia therapist and is the founder and president of Texas Hope Literacy. They are on the front lines in helping to reduce recidivism by going into the units just prior to an inmate's release and working with them. You want to be sure and hear the kind of things that Lucy has to say. If you're the family of a loved one who is getting ready to be released from prison, this will be a good show for you as well. Very pleased to have Lucy Smith on the show today. And we're going to talk with her right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Me again. I sure do like getting mail from you. You can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. And welcome back. My special guest today is Lucy Smith. Lucy is a licensed dyslexia therapist and the founder and president of Texas Hope Literacy Incorporated. Lucy and her organization are on the front lines of helping to reduce recidivism by going into the prisons. Lucy, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Welcome to you too for inviting me. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
We're so glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what your organization is, Texas Hope Literacy, what y'all do. Tell us about that.
Well, we are a reintegration program, and we have several models that we have created, one being a community model where the program actually takes place in a dorm or pod where they live. Mm-hmm. The other would be classroom models where they leave their dorm or pod where they live and go to a classroom setting.
Okay. How many units are y'all on in TDC?
Right now we have Dawson State Jail, which is in Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. and that is a TDC unit. And we also have Lucera County Jail, mm-hmm. which is a county jail facility. We do have some classroom models in Gatesville and really are needing some volunteers to help with that down there.
Gatesville, that used to be all women up there, but that's there are other units up there, aren't there now? Or am I wrong about that?
Are you talking about in Dawson or in Gatesville?
Well, in Gatesville, yeah.
I think they're primarily women's units there, but I do believe there is a male facility. It possibly is called the Hughes unit.
Oh, the
Hughes
unit.
But primarily there are females
okay.
there. That's where death row is for the females
Right.
They actually release the women from Gatesville.
Oh, they don't go through the walls then, huh?
No, no. I think only men go through the walls.
Wow. Okay. I was in prison in Texas for eight years, and I didn't know that. That's that's interesting.
Well, okay. Welcome to all this wonderful information, right?
and I hear these names of these units. You know, I used to hear them kicked around all the time, but I never really knew where any of them were. And my wife and I have done some traveling since I've been home, just around the state of Texas, and it seems like there's every little small town you go through, there's a prison unit there, you know. And I've heard the so I know the need has got to be great. Now, as I was telling you before the show, you had mentioned to me in an email that something that really jumped out at me, and it was this idea of families kind of hiding out when their loved one is incarcerated. What can families and loved ones do while someone is serving their time to help facilitate their release? Tell us about that.
Well, I think the families really don't know what to do. Having been the parent of two sons who went to prison myself, in my early days, I had no clue as to what I could do. We started with the county jail, and of course, I knew I could bring in some clothes for them to wear, like underwear and things like that, but didn't know what to do. And I just saw this long sea of humanity in front of me and behind me while we were all standing in line. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know this existed. I'd never had any contact with the jail or prison system prior to this. And so I went through all the experiences of the family with me, anger, hurt, pain, just an assortment of feelings. And with thinking all this time, somebody needs to do something about this, and never knowing that I'd be part of the equation. The family, the reason they're hiding out is because there's a lot of judgment. But if you have a loved one who goes to prison, then you are the problem. You're part of the reason they went to prison. And you do blame yourself. You do think that you were part of the reason they went to prison. If I'd only been a better mom, or if I'd only done this, and blah, blah, blah. And even even in churches, for example, there is a condemnation or a putting aside of people who are just different. We don't want those people to associate with us. And if there are other children, family, well, we really, you know, they've got a brother in prison or in prison. Well, we really don't want our kids associating with him. So to come out in the open and to let everybody know that your relative is in prison can be a very shameful and hurtful experience, depending on the reaction you get.
And
if they were mobilized, if the families were truly mobilized in the state of Texas, they could have a powerful voice.
I do think that there is some sort of an organization for family members of TDC inmates, but it doesn't. My wife looked into it when I was incarcerated, and there just wasn't a lot going on with it.
And it's hard to find them too, because if you're a volunteer inside the system, you're not supposed to have contact with the families on the outside of those that are incarcerated. So there's that baby there. We need to be an outside organization that would really, really figure out how to help these people. And some people are doing things like helping them get rides to the facility where their loved ones incarcerated. They might have a bus or something to that effect. I know we have a volunteer group at Dawson that comes in maybe once or twice, probably once a quarter, and their church comes in on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, and they'll be in the parking lot loving on those families and praying with those families. And in the summertime, they can bottle water and snacks. Great ministry opportunity.
If you're a family member, when you go to visitation, if you just talk to other family members, I'll give you a real quick story. I was on the Line Owl unit out in West Texas for about 4 years out there, and we were having a problem getting fed. Every meal was pancakes, morning, noon, and night. And this went on for weeks and weeks. And so what happened was, the family members standing out in line for visitation just kind of started chit-chatting, and they realized that this was an issue, and they kind of got together, made some phone calls, and they solved that problem real quick. So It'll show you what a little unity can do. Now,
and unity without animosity and hatred.
Right, right.
I mean, there
is a wrong way.
The system has a job to do.
Right.
The system has a job to do. They have to maintain security. They have to think about all these other things, and they have a budget as well.
Right.
So to go on a frontal attack is not a good plan.
Well, we always say on the show that there's a right way and a wrong way to approach the, you know, prison officials about issues and so forth.
That's
right. Well, we don't like for this show to be like a griping platform for things that are going on. What we like to do is think of positive things and things that we have to look forward to. And those are the kinds of things that y'all are teaching. I noticed that y'all, you teach reading skills. And before in my previous life, before I went to prison, I was a school teacher, and I noticed that y'all use a multidisciplinary type of approach to teaching reading. Are you familiar with Niehaus?
Yes, absolutely. Love Niehaus.
I was wondering about
that. They use the same type of scope and sequence that we use as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, I went through the Niehaus training. I taught special ed for many years, and
wonderful.
I went through the Niehaus training. They used to have a facility here in Houston on Alabama Street, and I understand now they've got their own building and everything, and it's grown a lot since the days that I was going through there. But yeah. Okay. So I want to tell you people out there that if this is the approach that Lucy's group is using, you want to get your loved one involved if they need this help, because this is a tried and true way of attacking illiteracy. It's an excellent, excellent program. Now, do y'all, speaking of parents, like we were just a second ago talking in the visitation line, do you guys do things like teach parenting skills to people?
And, oh, yeah.
Okay, talk to us about that.
Okay. Literacy means not just reading, writing, spelling, and math, although we do all of that. It also means life skills. We need good literacy life skills.
Okay.
So we offer a CPS-approved parenting class, substance abuse. Everything that we do is taught from a biblical perspective.
Okay.
But we use good tools that are research-based with a track record, and a lot of them are for criminal justice settings.
Okay.
So all the things that we're trying to incorporate have evolved over time. We started in 1997 with just teaching people to read. And then after about a year, the men said, well, we can't get our GED because we need math. Okay, well, so we'll throw in math. And then they have all these other needs. And then when we start working with the females at the Dawson State Jail, first of all, they have so many needs you would not believe. And so parenting being a huge issue. Mm-hmm. In our first parenting class at Dawson, it was about 2005 or 2006, 15 women had 50 children between them.
Wow.
I know. And I told the volunteer, you must have miscounted. No, she said, I did not miscount. I said, I can't believe, oh my goodness, we need parenting classes in here. And so everything has become evolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful substance abuse program called Christians Are Recovering Everywhere. All of these are basically volunteer-driven by our wonderful partners. We are a non-denominational program, mm-hmm. and we have an assortment of people coming in who are qualified to teach and train. We have a professional leadership coach who comes into Dawson and trains our women how to be leaders. We offer conflict resolution as well as peacemaker. Any type of thing that is reintegration-based is what we have in our program.
Job search skills?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Job search skills at the county jail right now is going to be added and included in with our program at Dawson.
What kinds of things do y'all address there?
We have a lady who is doing HR in her workplace environment.
Uh-huh.
So she's coming in and teaching how to do resume writing, also how to interview for a position, all of the things that are necessary in getting in front of an employer and getting a job.
That is
excellent.
How to communicate.
Forget your slang. We need to have formal language.
Yeah, but when I was coming out, I don't know if they still do this or not. I've been home for about 5 years now. We went through Project Rio, which I don't think they have anymore.
I don't think so either. That's
and changes. But in Project Rio, Lucy, I kid you not, we watched films that would teach skills like you need to be sure and brush your teeth. You need to be sure and comb your hair. And come on, man, even the lowest functioning of inmate is insulted. That the problem with a film like that is the inmate is thinking, this is what their perception is of me. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm so glad to hear that at least somebody is going in and doing something about the job search skills and that sort of thing. Resume writing. Do y'all teach resume writing and that sort of
Yes, so she's doing that in her class as well. And also, we do have another class that's being added in. It's called Grieving. Many of these people have been through tremendous struggles in their lives, and not just death, but of sexual assault, abuses of all sorts. And so they're grieving about an assortment of
Okay. Well, Lucy, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, more with Lucy Smith. Lucy got this faith-based organization that is just absolutely excellent. And it's called Texas Hope Literacy. And more with Lucy right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. You know what? We're in the process of getting our summer schedule together. We've got a lot of great guests lined up. You want to be sure and tell people about the Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers, people that you know that are loved ones of incarcerated individuals that are getting ready to be released, people that are getting ready to be on parole or probation. If you're going through the court system and you're going to get probation, if you've just come home, these shows are for you. Got a great lineup coming up this summer, so be sure and tell people about the Journey of Hope.
You left me here on Sunday morning. Packed your bags and you hit the road. I sit here in the mornings drinking coffee. Wondering where the hell did you go? I think I am more than lonely. I think I can take the pain. I think need some information about you.
And we're back. We're speaking with Lucy Smith. She's the founder and president of Texas Hope Literacy. These guys are actually going into the prisons and jails and doing something about recidivism. You mentioned a couple of times that this is a faith-based program. Tell us how that's a component of the program and the process. How do you integrate that into what y'all do?
Well, everything about Hope, and I want to qualify this, we are biblically based, but we do not discriminate against anyone. If you apply to come into Hope, regardless of your race, color, creed, sexual orientation, whatever, we're going to take you in. We have a structure with rules that you have to follow in addition to the rules that TDCJ or the county provides. And as long as you can fit into that structure and we don't expect you to be perfect, you can be in our program. And when I say we're biblical-based, there's a difference here in the faith-based term. We use biblical principles in everything that we do, okay, as far as our life skill classes. One of the things that sets us apart, you were mentioning earlier about the brushing the teeth in the video, et cetera, and how that made a person feel less than. Well, in our particular classes, you take classes, but you have to put into practice what you've learned. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to take a leadership class, you're a leader, and you have to lead according to the process that has been set before you in our manual, for example, or in the class that was taught. And so they get to actually practice their life skills while they're locked up.
All right.
And that is a huge difference in somebody going to a class, participating in a group, and then just going back and going where they actually want to live.
So if a couple of offenders have an issue with one another mm-hmm. on the pod, y'all teach them mm-hmm. how to come to resolution mm-hmm. on that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Well, we have peacemaker classes, we have conflict resolution, and the Bible says that if you have something against each other, you're supposed to go talk to each other and work that out. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, then you need a third party involved. So we have a process for that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Man, I really like what y'all are doing. The problem is y'all need more volunteers, don't you?
And well, we need more volunteers, and also we need more people who are willing to support what we're doing, because nothing that we do is funded by the state. It's strictly a volunteer program.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can always use donations to help us with this. We are a 501c3, and all donations are deductible.
Okay.
But we do need volunteers. Yes, definitely.
Let's talk about the volunteer part of it first. How would someone go about doing that? Who are you looking for? What qualifications do they need? Tell us about that.
Okay. Most of the volunteers that start out with, and for now, I've been orchestrating the Gatesville volunteers as well as the Dawson volunteers. We have a volunteer facilitator at the county children's center now.
Mm-hmm.
But they can contact me, and then I can put them in contact if they want to go to the county jail with the volunteer facilitator. I always tell them they want to come in, they want to teach a Bible study. And I say, we're not looking for another Bible study.
Right.
We are looking for reintegration tools with a biblical-based structure to that. And so, for example, if somebody wants to teach a Bible study, the Book of Ruth is a perfect example of reintegration. Orpah went back to old friends, old faces, old places, and we never hear from her again. And Ruth went to Naomi's transitional house.
Okay.
So we can do a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does work.
Y'all use a lot of peer tutoring, too, don't you?
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of peer tutoring that y'all use as well?
Yes. And what we do in our tutoring program, it is peer-driven, so when they come into our program, they're either going to be peer educator, they're going to be a student. All of our tests is to see how they place in literacy and math, and then accordingly, if they place as a student, they're going to be a student, and then if they place as a peer educator, they'll be a peer educator. And from that point, they are trained to tutor somebody, and the benefit to both parties is huge. It is that trust element that builds. When you who are struggling with reading, for example, or math, you begin to see your success and know that this person across the table from you wearing white is the one that helped you. And then the tutor, on the other hand, oh, my goodness, they're beginning to really buy into it because they see this student being successful now. They're their cheerleader. It's a huge thing. Then also in some of our classes that are reoccurring classes like the substance abuse and even the ARC, the parenting class, they will use volunteer the inmate facilitators who have been through the course, who have enough time left to come back and do a repeat, and they become a facilitator in that. So we're training them on different levels.
Let me throw this at you real quick. We're getting tight on time here, but I don't know if you're aware of this or not. You probably are, but when I went to prison, I had never even had a speeding ticket before. And, you know, like I say, I was teaching mm-hmm. school and coaching football. And when I got to prison, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be in terms of the other people that were there. there are a lot of guys, especially that I knew in prison, that come from professional backgrounds that have degrees. And some of them are not allowed to participate where they would be greatly used because of their offense. And so I'm wondering, you know, what your stance is on that. Can anyone be a peer tutor? How does that work?
Well, in our program, we are a volunteer program. And so as long as the system would allow somebody to participate in our program, the offense doesn't matter. I don't care what they did. I don't even know what they did. If they want to tell me, that's fine. I never asked. We're not supposed to ask, but I don't care. I mean, I have a human being standing in front of me, and they want to make a difference in their life or a difference in someone else's life. That's good enough for me. And if the system allows them to be in the program, so be it.
Yeah, I think the problem would be with TDC. TDC is just real restrictive on some offenses. But there are just so many guys that have, I'm just going to say it, there are a lot of guys out there with sex offenses that... That, it, by the way, that makes up a huge percentage of TDC. They're educated men. They've made a horrible, tragic mistake in their life, which I never met one that didn't wish they could take it back, you know? And the chances of, and everybody talks about the recidivism rate for sex offenders, and, you know, I just don't see it. I see these guys like, my God, I don't ever want to go back in there, you know? But these guys would be great tutors. A lot of them have been to you know, I knew a guy that graduated at the top of his class at University of Texas who couldn't do anything in TDC. They wouldn't let him do anything, you know. So anyway, that's just something I wanted to throw there. Okay, now
We were on a male facility at one time. We were there for about 12 years, and we had great success with the men. And, you know, again, I do not know what their charges are, although I have heard that some were sex offenders, okay? But they were in our program, and as long as the unit didn't kick them out, they could stay. I never had any problems with them.
No, and I don't think you would either. You know,
because what I think about that particular charge is that they want to fly under the radar.
Absolutely.
On the inside and the outside.
Absolutely. And that term under the radar, I thought I invented that.
No.
I guess I didn't.
Well, as a volunteer program, we fly under the radar all the time.
Yeah. Okay, now.
And by the way, I want to toss one thing out.
Okay.
We're big on ministering to the staff, really big. We love on the staff from the moment we walk on the unit.
Good.
That's and that good. Is part of our success because we are not asking for any favors. We're just showing them we care.
And, you know, an us and them mentality isn't going to get anybody anywhere. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Okay. How do people find out more about Texas Hope Literacy if they wanted to volunteer or if they wanted to donate? Where could they find you on the internet? Tell us about that.
Okay. It's www.hopelit.com.
Okay.
And they could also, if they wanted to send an email, to texashopeliteracy@gmail.com.
Okay. Good deal. Lucy Smith, the founder and president of Texas Hope Literacy. Lucy, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Wow, we are like way out of time. Really enjoyed talking to my special guest, Lucy Smith. You want to be sure and check out her information. It's listed right there next to the podcast. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.